إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم ومن والاه بعد. My brothers, we were talking about the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as being essential to develop taqwa. To develop taqwa, you need to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because taqwa is the fear of displeasing the one we love the most. So the more we love Allah, the more we fear to displease Him, and that's how we develop taqwa, and that is the purpose of Ramadan al-Kareem. Let's look at another aspect now, which is how can we get Allah to love us. So one is I love Allah, and therefore I would like to love Allah more, so I learn about Allah more, I try to connect, spend time with Him and so on. But what about the opposite? How do I know if Allah loves me? Because effectively that is the more important thing as far as I am concerned. I should love Allah, of course, but I want Allah to love me. Because if I claim to love Allah, but if Allah does not love me, then I'm still in trouble. So all my claims to love Allah are not going to save me if Allah does not love me. So how do I get Allah to love me? How do I know that Allah will love me? And the answer to that is very simple. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that in the Quran, specifically with reference to the people who claim to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَّحِيمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, say to those who claim to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make my ittiba. Sayyidina Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is being told, tell them, those who claim to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make my ittiba, do my ittiba. And if you do my ittiba, what will happen? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love you. يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ. The first result of Allah loving you is يَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive your sins. وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَّحِيمٌ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most forgiving and most merciful. Now what is ittiba? And that is the key to this, is to understand that. What is ittiba? And how is it different from itaat? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the issue of fadal. Shukran. Jazakallah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the term ita'at, and He mentioned the term ittiba. Two terms which have been mentioned with respect to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Atiullah wa atiur Rasul, many times in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, obey Allah and obey the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَمَنْ يُطِي رَسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهَ. The one who has obeyed the Prophet has obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and similar ayat in different places. The thing to understand is, ita'at is to obey. And because it is to obey, there is a precondition needed for that. And that precondition is, there should be a hukum. In the absence of a hukum, you cannot obey. Right? When there is a hukum, you obey. So if I ask Hamdan, can you get me some dates? And then he gets me the dates, alhamdulillah. So I have made a request, given a hukum, given an order, instruction, whatever you want to call it, and he obeys. Alhamdulillah, so we say he has obeyed. I give him the instruction, he does not obey. Then go get it yourself. Or he doesn't do anything. Then he has disobeyed. Right? But if I just ask him just now, why are you not obeying me? What is he going to say? He said, I'm not obeying. I'm not obeying what? No, you're not obeying me. No, I'm not obeying what? You have not told me anything. You are telling me I'm not obeying you, but you gave me no instruction. If I give you an instruction, then I obey or don't obey. But if you give no instruction, then you can't say I did not obey you, because you did not give an instruction. The reason I'm explaining this is because this is the meaning of ita'at. Ita'at is to obey an instruction. So first there has to be an instruction. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Aqimus Salah. Then, whether you do Iqamati Salah or you do not do, you are obeying or not obeying. Ittiba is not obedience. Ittiba is imitation. Ittiba is emulation. Obedience comes out of respect. Obedience can come out of fear. Obedience can come for various reasons. Out of greed, out of bribery. I mean, you do something, I'll pay you. So it is neither love nor fear or something, but it is for money, whatever gain. Right? Obedience can be for many reasons. But ittiba is imitation. There is only one reason, and that reason is love. Children imitate their parents. People imitate pop stars or, you know, football stars, or you have a haircut like somebody, or you're wearing a hat like this, or, you know, you walk like Michael Jordan, or, you know, whatever. Now, Michael Jordan didn't come and tell you that walk like this, right? If you are wearing some, so if you are wearing a, you know, a jersey, if you are wearing a, you know, a jersey of some football team or something, the team is not telling you to wear the jersey. They didn't pay you to wear the jersey. You are wearing the jersey because you want to be associated with that team. You want to be known as a Manchester supporter or whatever, Arsenal supporter. Arsenal doesn't care a hoot whether you support or don't support, makes no difference to them. They don't even know you exist. But you would like but you would like to, you know, show the world that I am an Arsenal supporter. Do you know how to kick a ball? No. That doesn't matter. I need to be Arsenal supporter, right? So, ittiba is a function of love. We do ittiba of those we love. So, what is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that if you want me to love you, then you imitate Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then you love Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so much that you will do everything like he does. Now, as I said, in itaat, hukum is conditional. In ittiba, there is no hukum. So, the person who loves Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will do everything, his whole life, his appearance, his way of talking, his way of dealing with people, whatever he does, he will do it like Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do, without being told, without being asked. He is doing it because I want to be as close to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as I want. This is the meaning of sunnah. That is the sunnah. The sunnah is to follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in every single aspect of his life because we love Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the result of that is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love us. The sunnah is the way of converting every action into an action of ibadah. We drink water anyway. If you drink it the way Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to drink it, then it becomes an action of ibadah. Because you are obeying the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where he said, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِ. So one is to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the other one is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to love us. And the way to get Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to love us is to make the ittiba of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now the Sahaba Rizwanullahi alayhim used to do this. They used to, the son of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radhiyallahu anhu says, our father used to call the family and sit together, and he used to tell us about the sunnat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He used to tell us about the ghazwat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He used to talk about what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do, different things, and so on and so on. Abdullah ibn Umar radhiyallahu anhu, one day he was riding his camel somewhere, and then he stopped in a place, and he made the camel do two turns, and then the camel, he made it kneel, and he got off the camel and he prayed two rakat of salah. So people saw this and said, what is this thing you did? What was this salah? He said, nafil. He said, why are you praying here? And why did this camel do these two chakras, two rounds? He said, I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one day when he came to this place, his camel took two turns and sat down, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed two rakat of salah. Now you might say, well, you know, Rasulullah's camel did two rounds and we don't know why does the camel do two rounds? We don't know. Why does the camel do one round? We don't know. Nabi sallallahu prayed two rakat of salah. Did he ask him why did he do that? He didn't ask him. So why are you doing it? Because I love Muhammad sallallahu. So I will do what Muhammad sallallahu does if I understand it, also if I don't understand it. Abdullah ibn Umar radhiyallahu anhu is going in one place, riding on his camel in one place. He bends down like this completely.
And then he straightened up. He's on the back of the camel. Somebody said, why did he do that? He said, when Rasulullah was alive, he went down this road. There was a tree here, and the branch of the tree was across the street. And Nabi bent down to get under the branch. So now there is no tree, there is no branch. Why are you bending down? Because I love Muhammad. Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radhiyallahu anha says, among all the Sahaba, he says, the one who follows the Sunnah the most among all the Sahaba is Abdullah ibn Umar radhiyallahu anhu. This is the meaning of love of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the meaning of ittiba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, this is not restricted only to some particular behavior or some incident. It is not related only to having a beard. It is not only related to wearing a turban. For example, this was the sunnah of Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, used to wear a turban. It is related to all the aspects. The reason I'm saying that is, beard is very important. It's part of the of being a man. It is fard on the human, on the male to have a beard. The sunnah of Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is a turban. This is the sunnah. See the beauty. When people take the sunnah of Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala raises their status. The Sikhs, they took the entire sunnah of the appearance of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and took it as their signature. Right? If you take the Nirankari Sikhs, they wear a turban, they have big long beards, they have trousers which are above the ankles, they wear long kurtas which are below the knee, right? And they have a sword called a kirpan. Canadian Mounted Police, they have allowed Sikhs to wear a turban instead of a helmet. Today's news, the British thing, Trooping the Colours. It's called Trooping the Colours, which is the one of the things that happens in UK, very famous thing, before the Queen. There's one of the Queen's Guards, who is a Sikh, wearing a turban instead of the bear skin hat. The famous bear skin hats of the Queen's Guards. This one is wearing a turban. The Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He does not know that. He is not wearing it because it is a Sunnah. But my interpretation is, this is the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raises the status of the person, even though he is not even following the religion. He does not even believe in Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But among many other things which we have left beards and we have left turbans. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala therefore humiliates those who leave the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In India, there's a famous case in Supreme Court where a man was disallowed to have a beard, and they said, this is not from your religion. The Hindu judge says, this is not from your religion. And what is the proof? He said, look at Muslims. Who has a beard? He named so many famous Muslims. This one. Whereas Sikhs, we had Gyani Zail Singh, who was the President of India, beard and turban. We had Manmohan Singh, Prime Minister of India, beard and turban. He didn't take off his turban because now I am Prime Minister of India. No. I was once doing an interview in South Africa, and the interviewer asked me, how does a man with a beard and a turban, he said, how does a man with a turban do the kind of work you do? My work in corporate, corporations and so on. He said, how does a man with a turban do the work you do? I said, a man with a turban rules my, he's the Prime Minister of my country. So she said, I never thought of that. I said, yeah, better think. That's the reason he has the turban. Because he's following the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He doesn't know that, but then Guru Nanak, the founder of Sikhism, took the entire appearance of the Muslim, because this was the appearance of leadership. And that's why the Sikhs are called what? Sardar. Sikhs are called Sardar. Sardar means what? Boss, leader. Ittiba of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam results in the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves you, then ask, what do you want? Then the question of dua, the acceptance of dua, the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and everything is all given. Default settings. Because Allah loves you, khalas. What does anyone, anybody ask? What does anyone want? Key is ittiba. So as I was saying, it's not only restricted to these things. It goes throughout. And that's where the tough things are. For example, Rasulullah, how did he treat his family? How was he at home? How was he with his servants? Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu was the servant of Nabi sallam for 10 years. When Nabi sallam came to Medina, the mother of Anas bin Malik, she brought her son and gave him to Nabi sallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, he will serve you. And Anas bin Malik remained with Nabi sallam until Rasulullah passed away. Right? And it was one of the fadail of Anas bin Malik that he said that he used to see Rasulullah in his dream every single night all his life. Ajib, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is barakah to people. Anas bin Malik says, throughout my time with Nabi sallam, not once did Rasulullah even question me about anything. Not even questioned about anything. And he said, I was a boy, I mean, I did things, I did not do things, he told me something, I did this, and all this. Zaid bin Haritha radiallahu anhu, one day, and this is in Makkah, Rasulullah gave him some money and said, go to the market and bring something. So Zaid bin Haritha went. Now, Nabi sallallahu was waiting that he will come back, he didn't come back. Long time passed, Rasulullah got worried, his boy is lost or something happened to him, or he got kidnapped or God knows what. So he went looking for him and he finds Zaid bin Haritha playing with some children. So some children or some game was going on, he's playing. Now, when Zaid saw Nabi sallallahu, he got a shock. He suddenly remembered, I was supposed to go and get this thing, now I got involved in this game. Anyway, Nabi sallallahu called him, he came. So Rasulullah said, what happened? He said, Ya Rasulullah, I'm very sorry. He said, no, don't worry, give me the money. You play, you finish your game, give me the money. Now Zaid bin Haritha is searching everywhere, money is gone. It fell down somewhere, he was playing. So Rasulullah smiled and said, okay, you finish your game and come home. No reprimand. You know, I sent you to do something, you ran away somewhere and gave you money, money is also lost. Nothing. Not one word. Right? Now point is, this is where the ittiba of Rasulullah as far as we are concerned falls apart. So we are okay with the, you know, at least those of us who have beard and turbans, we are okay with that. Those who don't have, that's a different issue. But my point is, that is not where it ends. It goes to behavior. How did Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam deal with people? How did the man comes, he grabs him by the collar of his, you know, his shirt, and he holds it so hard that the mark is left on his throat, on his blessed neck. Almost like throttling him. And he said, Ya Muhammad, Adil. Oh Muhammad, do justice. Here is a man. This is after the battle of Hunain. This is a man. Here is a man who is misbehaving with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He is being disrespectful to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He is handling him. He is telling him, be just. Which means what? Implication is you are not just. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if I am not just, who will be just? The Sahaba pulled their swords to cut the man through. Hey, don't touch him. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, don't touch him. Leave him. You know, it's a long hadith and, you know, different things with it. But point I am making is that here is the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the way he used to behave with people, even those who were offensive. Not showing anger, not losing control. There was a man called Abu Mahadura. Now Abu Mahadura is one of my favorite stories on Sirah. Abu Mahadura was one of the youth of the Quraysh and one of the, you know, upper class youth of the Quraysh. So after Fatah Makkah, a lot of people came into Islam. And of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the niyat of people, so I'm not commenting on that. But many people join, you know, people want to be with the winning side. It's not necessary that you necessarily believe in that ideology or you actually had a conversation and you got convinced and so on, but be with the winners. So then you are fine, you know, you don't have to worry. So a lot of people, And the people who came into Islam after Makkah, after Fatah Makkah, they called At-Tulaqa. They called the freed slaves of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, because Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam could have enslaved them, he could have ordered the men to be killed, they could have ordered them to be sold as slaves. He did not do any of that. He freed them. He did not even take compensation for what they took from him. Forget about anything else. So these people were part of the army going to Hunain. Now, as the army was going to Hunain, there were a lot of these young people and so on who did not have the tarbiyah of the Akabirin of the Sahaba of Rasulullah. So they had just come into Islam, they didn't really understand adab and this and that. So one place, army is camped. I'm talking about the behavior of Rasulullah correcting people. So army is camped in one place. Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu anhu called the Adhan. So some of the youth of Quraysh, among whom was Abu Bahadura, they started making fun of Bilal radiallahu anhu. Because Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu anhu was black African, these people made racist comments and they said, who is this black crow and this and that, na'udhu billah. Now this is happening in the middle of the Muslim army. Somebody heard this, they complained to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This is Ya Rasulullah, these people were making fun of Sayyidina Bilal. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam called them. So now the soldiers came and they said, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wants you. But now you are in trouble. Because making fun of Bilal radiallahu anhu somewhere where there is no control is a different matter. But you are in the middle of the army, you are making fun of the Mawzin of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and one of the Akabirin, one of the greatest of the Sahaba. They called him. So these people, these 5, 6, 7, whatever they were, young youth of Quraysh, they were brought before Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is sitting there. They come, he said, sit down. They sat down. He said, come close. So they came. He said, you were making fun of Sayyidina Bilal. They said, Ya Rasulullah, no, we really didn't want, we didn't mean it. He said, you were mocking him. He said, yes. He said, which one of you was doing it? Who was the most? So Abu Bahadura, he said, Ya Rasulullah, it was me. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, come close. Now put yourself in Abu Mahadura's shoes. This is the army commander, right? This is the army commander. You are in the middle of the army. You are going to battle. You have not just disobeyed, you have committed what amounts to treason, because you are making fun of the Mawzin of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So when he says, come close, what is Abu Mahadura think? Maybe Abu Mahadura thought that now he will give a signal to somebody, chop off your head or something, you know that. What does Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam do? Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says to him, shall I teach you how to call the Adhan? The man was mocking Bilal radiallahu anhu. He says to him, shall I teach you how to call the Adhan? Now Abu Mahadura at that point in time would have said yes to anything, obviously. Right? So he said, yes, please teach me. So Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, okay, now repeat after me. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Abu Mahadura repeats. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam repeats the whole, calls the whole Adhan, and Abu Mahadura repeats it. In this Adhan which Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam called, he said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah and Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said it 4 times. Normally in the Adhan you say it 2 times. He said it 4 times. This is why the Shafi'i Adhan is this. Imam Shafi'i Rahmatullah took that Adhan. Abu Mahadura learned this. Finished? Then Abu Mahadura said, Ya Rasulullah, I have a request. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, tell me. He said, Bilal bin Rabah is your muazzin in Medina. Make me your muazzin in Makkah. Who is saying this? The man who was mocking, making fun of Bilal bin Rabah. He said, make me your muazzin in Makkah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, you are my muazzin in Makkah. And they say that Allah gave Abu Mahadura a very long life. So he lived for close to 100 years. He said every salah, he would come into the haram, he would make tawaf, he would pray 2 rakat, and then he would call the adhan, his whole life. This is the power of correcting with love. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had many options. He could have punished him justifiably, he could have punished him. He did not have asked him to be killed, but he could have punished him. He could have done nothing, he need not have punished him, but he could have told him off. He could have even nicely, he would have told him, look, I mean, what kind of behavior is this? This is stupid behavior, you should not behave like this. He didn't do any of that. He did not do any of that. He said, shall I teach you to call the other? Instant convert from somebody who is critical to somebody who became the most faithful servant of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. His whole life, complete life change in one instant. Total life change. Now people ask me, can people's lives be changed? I say, yes. Here is an example. Somebody's life, complete change from one end to the other end. And that change was permanent. It's not as if, you know, after a while, all the good feeling. No. His whole life, Abu Mahdhur radiallahu anhu, remained true to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the meaning of the hope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the hope of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which leads to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loving us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those who love Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and who follow his sunnah in our lives and who study the seerah and who implement it in our lives. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among the list of those he loves. Jalla Jalaluhu. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya rahman.